Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and once again, our friends at CTG Group, Nell Sloan Capital Trading Group, has brought us some outstanding new guests to the show, and hopefully they'll become regular contributors to the Bubba Show here. But we've got from Purple Valley Capital, which is purplevalleycapital.com, we've got David Ramsey and Don Wisorek, the principals of the company, and they're here today to share with us their opinions of the markets and their opinions of what they do and tell us kind of what their strategies are. Welcome aboard, guys.
Thank you. We're happy and honored to be a part of the show and tell you a little bit about Purple Valley Capital and how we trade the futures market. So a little bit about ourselves, our company, Purple Valley Capital, and we're a fully registered commodity trading advisor and commodity pool operator, which basically means we trade commodity contracts professionally for clients. And we've been around a little over 7 years. I started it in the fall of 2008 from my dorm room at Williams College with $100,000 from friends. And now we've grown and manage over $5 million for 64 clients, including high net worth individuals, family offices, and retirement accounts. So in terms of strategy, we trade a long-term systematic risk management strategy that aims to capture large trends both up and down across 40 various markets, including fixed income, stock indices, commodities, and currencies. And we target absolute returns that are uncorrelated to traditional investments. So that's a little bit of background about ourselves. I hired David Ramsey about 5 months ago, who previously worked at Bridgewater. So he's come to join. Him and I have been friends for over 10 years now. He and I played golf and hockey together at Williams, and really excited and pumped to start working together.
And it sounds exciting, and I love the website. I love the scenic route. It looks like one of the golf courses I used to play in Lake Tahoe. So when we look at strategies, and you mentioned that you cover over 40 different commodities, and I guess how do you determine what are some of the things that you look at, or what becomes part of your model, and as far as investing, what are you looking for, and how do you go ahead about investing into those commodities?
Right, that's a good question. So when I first wanted to create the strategy, basically started with a blank sheet of paper and said, I want to be in whatever markets are moving in large ways. Like, I didn't want to just be a stock trader. That's what brought me to the futures markets. And then in terms of building the strategy and including the different types of markets, the main attractions were they had to have market depth and liquidity so we could get in and out of the market. And also, again, the idea of being very uncorrelated in various markets. So that was the point. They all add something different and ideally are going to be uncorrelated such that at any given time there's something that's moving, whether it's metals or grains or currencies or interest rates. Our job is basically just to get on the right side, either long or short, on whatever's moving in big ways.
And that's obviously, and we're big believers at the Bubba Show here. And my trading partner of 36 years, I've been in the business. I was a floor trader starting in 1980. So I get what you're looking at, and I get the business. So David, tell us about yourself a little bit. I know that you're involved. Let's hear a little bit from you.
So as Don mentioned, he and I met about a decade ago at school. We actually used to take econ together and talk trading a bit back then. But my history with the fund, basically, I was actually one of the first investors in the fund when Don launched it, and have been, you know, following very closely over the last 7 year history. And in that time, I was working at Bridgewater Associates for almost 5 years in the trading department and then also in the client service department. And so really sort of interesting how it played out with Don and I of, you know, he's a brand new fund starting out. Bridgewater had been around for about 40 years when I was there, and to hear sort of the things that Don was dealing with and the things that he was thinking about with, you know, building his business and his fund, and then being able to relate the things that I was seeing and learning about at a place like Bridgewater, things just sort of converged by, you know, the last couple of years here where I had learned a ton. I'd really sort of figured out you know, how a great fund is managed and how, you know, they handle their client service and all that type of stuff. And talking with Don, I think that the values really aligned, which is he also built his fund to have strong client relationships as an integral part of you know, his business, which is it's not just about returns. It's about truly helping the people that you're investing the money for and understanding what their investment goals are, really working with them to find out the right allocation, how they can properly use your strategy, all that type of stuff. And so I think it just made sense after, you know, the 7 years of Don sort of testing the strategy, really making sure that it works as, you know, as he had expected, and that the performance can really handle the different market environments. And I think you could probably tell as well that the last 7 years was an incredible time to test pretty much any strategy. We saw a bit of everything. And so, you know, coming out of that, I think Don really said, you know, the strategy is great. I think it works as I wanted it to. And now it's really time to ramp up the rest of the business and get us to sort of the next level. And so that's where I come in, you know, super excited to help him out here and, again, bring the client service aspect to, you know, what I think it can be. And, you know, help the clients that we have. Like Don said, we have about 64 current clients, and just really help them, you know, get the most out of the strategy and figure out, you know, how to utilize it for whatever their investment goals are. Those can, you know, vary pretty widely. So that brings us to here, and we're just sort of ramping up now and definitely excited about the future here, and especially with the managed futures type strategy, I think it could be, you know, a very interesting next couple of years for us. So I'm excited.
I'm excited for you, and I'm excited to have you on because it's nice to have on, you know, two young guys that are in this business, you know, and it's an old timers business, but, you know, two young bloods. And so Don, you're in your college dorm room. How the hell did you get decided to start investing into this space? What was your motivation that got you here?
Good question. So I always was attracted to markets and trading ever since I was really, really young. And traded throughout high school and college, various strategies, various philosophies, just read as much as I could. Did the whole securities analysis, value investing, thought philosophy for a while. That didn't fit me. Started trading currencies junior year in college and started reading a lot of what futures traders did. I read a lot of the Market Wizards books and then started clicking. I think specifically it was the Ed Sakota, Larry Hite, interviews in the Market Wizards. I was like, that's it. That fits my personality. That fits my goals. And that's where I just put pen to paper and created the system from scratch, wanting to be involved in a lot of various different markets. I love being long-term. I didn't want to be short-term. I didn't want to be glued to a screen. I like the idea of catching the really long, long-term trends, because I feel like that's where the really big money is in the big bull markets and being short during the bear markets. And I wanted to be across a lot of different markets, and that's what brought me to commodities. That's what brought me to futures. And at the end of it, trend following basically just popped out. So it's a risk management strategy, and I almost feel like trend following has gotten a misnomer, and it's been kind of taught or talked about in an inappropriate way. It's mostly risk management. That's what it is. This idea of cutting losers and riding winners just seems to make sense to me.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it seems to work, and my buddies in college started just kind of throwing me money. I had to say, hey, I need to legalize this. So compliance-wise, we had to actually draw up the fund structure, become registered as CPO and CPA, you know, become fully registered, do the audits and all that. And the rest was basically history. But there was a little part in there between my junior and senior year that I did do investment banking. I did an internship. That's kind of what a lot of my friends and economics majors at Williams were kind of encouraged to go check out. And that was a good experience. I worked on Wall Street for that summer. And it just didn't mesh with kind of my goals or wishes, and really wanted to come back to school my senior year and just give it a shot and take a risk to start my own thing. I was young. I wasn't married at the time. You know, that was kind of the time to give it a shot and see what happened. And so far, so good.
That sounds great. We're going to hold you up. Hold on one second. David Ramsey and Dan Wieczorek from Purple again with the, I can't get it out of my mouth, but purplevalleycapital.com, being brought to you by our friends at CTG Group, Nell Sloan, Capital Trading Group. Make sure you check them out. But go check out Purple Valley. You got two young studs here who get it, who want to be a part of it and really understand it. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. Give it to me. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm with Don Wojcik and David Ramsey from PurpleValleyCapital.com, and they are being brought to you by our friends at the CTG Group, Nell Sloan, Capital Trading Group. So, David, I had to cut you off. I'm sorry, but you were going to make a point, finishing up on Don's point, so go ahead and make it for us now, please.
Yeah, it was just purely I wanted to talk again about the compatibility thing that Don was talking about there, because I think that's such an important aspect of any good trader, any good strategy, and it's one that gets overlooked a lot in what I saw in my trading days. But really the amount of effort and time Don put into figuring out, what is the right strategy that fits his style and his personality. And I think that gets overlooked a lot when people try and find, what's the most lucrative strategy out there, and I'm going to go do that one. But I always loved the motto of, you can give a great strategy to a bad trader, and they're going to lose money. And so Don really spent his time and energy figuring out what's the right type of system for him, what's the right type of strategy. And to use my golf analogy again, it's, you can take Tiger Woods golf clubs and give them to a 30 handicapper, it's not going to make him a pro. But the effort that he puts into figuring out what's the right thing for me and how does it best fit, that's how you become a great trader and develop a great strategy. So I think that's something that gets overlooked, but something that Don spent years doing, and now he's got it pretty dialed in, and his track record and all that, I think, is all consistent with finding something that's really his, his fit for his personality. So that's just something I always want to emphasize.
That's great, because it never gets overlooked in the Bubba Show, because we are professional traders of, as again, I started in 1980. As a floor trader at the SIBO, so, and I'm still a member of the Chicago Board of Trade, so I get what you're doing. So now explain to the listeners the difference between a CTA and a pool operator, because there's a difference, and there's a difference in how you invest this. Can you guys give us an explanation of that, please?
Sure. So a commodity trading advisor is the cleanest and simplest way to get access to somebody to trade commodities for you, and that's simply opening up an account and signing power attorneys for a commodity trading advisor to trade it. Granted, there's certain thresholds, income levels, and depending on if the CTA has taken any exemptions, there's different kind of compliance issues along there. But that's the cleanest and fastest way to get access to this industry, and that's how most of it is done. Unfortunately, sometimes there's some higher minimum investments that are needed to get in and open accounts. Then the other side is being a commodity pool operator, and that's offering a fund structure, so it's a pooled investment vehicle, and that unfortunately comes with a little bit more legal and paperwork, just because it's compliance-wise, it's a securities offering, so the SEC gets its hands in there a little bit in the regulation side, and that is a fund, and that is what's audited. It's audited, but the good thing about a fund is it oftentimes can accept smaller investments for a minimum. So that's basically the difference. The fund is commingled and has a little bit more compliance issues. That individual managed account is no commingling of capital. It's your own account open in your name, and the trading advisor that trades for you.
So what is the investment? What are the levels if I wanted you to, if I gave you my money to manage, what's my minimum investment with you as a CTA?
So the CTA is $1 million, which is high, and it's a function of the strategy. Just trading this sort of strategy across the different markets requires a high minimum. Just because one contract to crude oil, for example, is going to cost $8,000 or $9,000 for margin. So that's just, unfortunately, one of the issues with commodity and futures trading.
No, it's not unfortunate. It's good you bring it up, because, again, most people don't understand the fact that, crude oil, when it's busy, can move $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 a day per one contract. So I'm glad you're bringing that up, because it's important for the listeners to understand, because a lot of people out there aren't as straightforward about it as you are, saying that, hey, there's real risk here. I mean, this is not, you know, a small potatoes, and you've got to have some money. And the more you want to trade, the bigger the products you want to trade, the more capital you need behind you. So I get that. That's great. That's a great way to bring it up. And so it's a million for the CTA part. What about the pool operating part? What's the minimum there?
That's $100,000, but that's more flexible. That's more it's definitely less, and we're just looking for the right steps on that. But getting back to your point about needing the money, it's funny because for the industry managed accounts, which we have those as well, and we're trading those, the margin to equity, or the actual amount of money in a $1 million account that we use to trade, is only about 20% or $200,000. So that's interesting. And that just, again, goes to show that you can't be overly aggressive and you can't use all of the margin. You can't even use half the margin. I liken it almost like a sports car. So you can go out and get a sports car, but in the futures markets, you can only go 20 mile an hour or 30 mile an hour, otherwise you're going to blow up and die. So we've been around 7 years, and we've seen it happen, unfortunately. And it's all about risk management. Futures is all about risk management because they really do give you a lot of power with no rules. And you need to create the rules yourself and be careful with that power that they grant you.
Well, so let's talk about that because, again, you know, one of my biggest things is risk management. I mean, look, the bottom line is you have to be in the game all the time. I mean, that's, you have to be around. You have to have money left so that you can trade when the times do go your way, because you and I both know, or all three of us know, excuse me, but we all know that not every trade is going to be a winner. So we have to understand how we get out when it's not a winner so that we're prepared for when we do get on the right side of the market. Would that be a correct statement?
Exactly right. And that's interesting because over my career of trading and just talking with other traders, we all go through phases. When we first start, our first assumption is, hey, we're going to be right on this trade. What are we going to get into, or what are we going to buy? Where now, by the way I think about things is, where do I get out with a loss? Like, that's literally the first thing I think about, and then I work back from there. Because the good times, they tend to take care of themselves. It's almost, I hate to say easy, but the good times, you just sit on your hands and markets will just take you higher. Where you really earn your medal and earn your keep in this industry, I think, is on the downside. Who can weather that downside and protect that capital? Because, as you mentioned, the good times, they do come, and this all boils down to patience and discipline. Like, those are two things that are the most important, especially this sort of strategy. We're only right 30-35% of the time. Oh, that's a heck of a lot of discipline and patience for us to run the strategy.
You must be reading my newsletters.
Go ahead, Todd.
Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that I think that's the big sort of, you know, misconception around, you know, trading strategies for people that are new to it, which is that in order to make money, they think you have to be right more than you're wrong. And that the best traders are the ones that every time they make a trade, they're right 80% of the time, 90% of the time. But as Don said, you know, we're right 30% of the time. But with the risk management, you know, we skew our distribution of when we lose, you know, one unit of risk. And when we win, we average about four. And so, you know, you play that over and over throughout time, and that's how you become profitable. It's not about, you know, predicting or being the smartest person or being right. It's just, you know, it's a hard game to win, but discipline and sticking to this risk management strategy is a very good way to have long-term success.
No, you couldn't be more right. I mean, again, that's, you know, when you get into an airplane, okay, what's the first thing they make you listen to? How do you exit the airplane if something goes wrong? And trading is the same thing. There's a lot of guys who have crashed and burned over the years because, I mean, we can take Lehman Brothers just for a most recent example. I mean, they were way over leveraged and they couldn't take the drawdown of the move, and they had no exit plan because they were stealing. But as you've said, both of you, quite clearly, I might say, is that the winners do take care of themselves on a regular basis, and it is always defending against the losing trades because, again, we all know, there's three of us on this call, and we all know that losers are part of the business, and how you exit and manage those losers are the key to being a successful trader, or in your case, investing others, because, again, it's easy to be wrong. It's easy that something can change, but at the end of the day, if you know your exit, then you don't have to worry about it because you're never going to be in a position to blow out an account or blow yourselves out. And that becomes the bigger thing in markets that most don't understand, because one thing I can say with talking to the two of you is you guys both get it. and you get the fact that markets are markets, and they're going to do what they're going to do, and our job is to find the best spot to enter, knowing where we're going to get out, and then hopefully the profits, as we say, will take care of themselves, and we'll ride that for a huge winner. But if not, we'll take the small loss, and we'll move on to the next trade. And with the variety of products you're trading, we're going to get into that when we come back from the break, because I know you guys have a very diverse portfolio, and I want to kind of get into the strategy you work. But we're with Don Wojcik and David Ramsey from PurpleValleyCapital.com. They've been brought to you by our friends over at the Capital Trading Group, Nell Sloan, CTG. And again, these guys get it. You can hear it in their voice, the confidence in which you're speaking. They understand the function of a market, which fits in perfect with the Bubba Show here, because that's what we do. We understand it, and we know the trials and tribulations that happen. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm with my new friends from PurpleValleyCapital.com, Don Wojcik and David Ramsey, and their partners, their schoolmates, their buddies. They've got to the same place from a different path, but they're also been brought to you by our friends at the Capital Trading Group, in case I forgot to mention them. But anyways, so guys, David, you were telling me something when we were sitting out at the break, and how important some things are. Take us through exactly why it's so important to recognize that there is losing parts of trading.
Yeah, well, I think it's just, it's such an important thing to remember, which is it's okay to have losing trades. It's okay to be wrong. Markets are going to be around tomorrow. They're going to be around next week. They're going to be around next month. There's always going to be more trades in the future. And, you know, if you get so emotionally attached to the current trade you're in and you feel like it's the last trade you're ever going to make, you know, that's how you blow up. And it's just really saying, you know, you got to stay alive for the next trade. And you do that by, you know, really limiting your losses, really cutting the losers, moving on for the next day, and making sure that your next trade is, you know, consistent with your strategy, that it's the same, you know, exact setup, the same discipline that you've exhibited. If you just keep doing that over and over again, and you have a strategy that will have a positive expectancy, you know, that's how you're profitable in the long term. But you can't get caught up in that day to day and thinking that every trade's got to be a winner. It's just how you blow up.
Well, it's just
isn't easy. I would add, it's not easy. It takes a rewiring of the brain, because it's like, we were all in school. You're supposed to get A's. You're supposed to do well. Everybody wants to be right all the time. And I tell you, for the last 10, 15 years of my trading, I've had to rewire my brain in that regard. And the only books I read now are psychology books. It's all about discipline and psychology for me personally. And that idea of cutting losers and riding winners. I have that George Soros quote on my trading desk here, where it's not if you win or you lose, it's how much you lose when you lose and how much you make when you win. Like, that's what it is. So it's not about winning and losing. It's really about the magnitudes of each one.
Oh, no, I couldn't. Again, we couldn't agree more. I mean, in fact, my partner, we call him the Badger. He goes by a hide name. He's also a trader. But, you know, we always talk about we only track the losing trades because we actually keep a sheet tracking the losers so we know how to trade them. And the winners, they always just take care of themselves. So let's talk about some of the strategies or how you go about finding something. And we know you trade in the energy field. We know you trade in the equity field through, you know, S&P and the futures there, and interest rate markets and currencies and some of the softs. So how do you go about identifying a good trade?
So from a trading perspective, we're looking to capture the large trend. So what that means is if the market's going to be in a large trend, it's going to have a breakout at some point. It doesn't matter if you use channel breakouts or Bollinger Bands or moving averages or whatever kind of technical indicators you want to signify a breakout. All the big bull markets are going to trigger all of those. So that's what we use. We're 100% systematic and technical. And it's not technical analysis in the sense that we predict anything. We don't predict anything at all. We use technical analysis as a risk management tool. Nothing to do with prediction. But we just want to make sure that if, and that's a big if a market is going to trend and move in a big way, that we will be in that market. We can't afford to not catch big trends. Because our winning percentage is so low, we need to make sure that when something moves in big ways, like when crude oil collapses or the U.S. dollar is starting to rally nicely now, like we need to be in these markets. That's the nice thing about this sort of strategy. There's a lot of ways to skin a cat. There's a lot of ways to make money in markets. This is just our way of doing it. We're not good at predicting anything. We're not good fundamental traders at all. In fact, whenever a trade goes on that I think is actually going to be a winner and could end up being a loser and vice versa, which is actually kind of funny. That's how we monitor. We look for big breakouts, and only 30% work. And as they move our way, we keep them. And if they move against us, we exit them quickly.
Will you add to winners as they're going your way?
No, I tend not to.
Okay.
No. You can. I've back-tested and studied that a lot. You can pyramid a little bit. It makes it a little more top-heavy. So there's different ways of doing it. Not to say that that's not profitable. It just doesn't fit my mindset and how I want to trade the system.
That makes sense. I mean, if it doesn't fit your risk model, I always like to hear honesty, and that's what you guys are telling me is straight up stuff. So I'm one of the few guys that you'll talk to that really understand all the inner workings of the markets and how they go. So is there anything that you guys are looking at now? I mean, you know, for example, I mean, the commodities in complex has been obviously now on 17-year lows. Have you guys been short that market, or are you looking to get into that market? Is there anything you're looking in there?
Right. So we've been short the commodity complex for a while. The energies, the cattle, natural gas has been a good trade for a while now for us. I don't like being short. We have to be because that's what the market's telling us is where markets are going or where they have been going. So now we're going to stay short as long as we remain in a downtrend. But the reason I don't like it is the risk reward just isn't really there on the downside as much as it is on the upside. So we're getting excited. We're getting some new positions on the long side, sugar and cocoa. But the real game changer right now, and why we're having a good month now, is the currencies. The U.S. dollar is strengthening, which is nice. And all of my testing, I found that tends to be a good thing for our sort of strategy is movement in the U.S. dollar. Because when the U.S. dollar is trending, that means a lot of the other currencies are also going to be trending. The U.S. dollar also is going to affect precious metals. It's also going to affect energy prices. So when you have the U.S. dollar moving in big ways, either up or down, it tends to have knock-on effects for a lot of the other futures markets and create a lot of nice opportunities. So we're excited about that.
Well, I think the other thing to think about, too, for the horizon, and who knows, you know, when or when it will happen, but is interest rates also have such a big impact on, you know, a lot of the futures in markets, you know, specifically currencies and the financials, you know, bonds, interest rates, that type of stuff. And but then also metals. And so, you know, who knows what will happen with that over the next few months. But I know that, you know, when those things do occur historically, that can really cause some good, you know, trends, big supply and demand differences. And I think that, you know, as we all know, the Fed has had the rates low for a while. And so You know, and that's part of our strategy. We don't need to try and predict when they're going to raise rates, if they're going to or not. But the big thing we know is that, you know, that can cause great trends, and we're definitely excited about that whenever it's going to happen.
So let's talk about that for a minute. You know, we've been, you know, pretty heavy on how you work and what you do, but I'm a big anti-Fed guy right now. Again, I think the principle of the Federal Reserve was correct for monetary policy, but I don't think we're getting delivery of what it was originally designed for. And I think they've taken away a lot of what we call price discovery out of these markets, and it's become more of a manipulated market between them and the other central banks around the globe. Do you have any opinion on that?
Well, I think to that point, you know, just at a high level of what you're saying there is really true, which is, you know, because it's sort of limiting a little bit of the transparency into what's going to happen, I think it's been a really tough year for a lot of hedge funds, a lot of, you know, the fundamental type people, because they're trying to figure out what's going to happen, what's going on, what do they think is going to be the next move, and, you know, you're trying to shadow almost what the Fed might do, and that's why I love the position that we're in at this point, you know, in our strategy, which is just, hey, you know, we're going to react to whenever the markets decide to move because of this thing, and we don't have to lose sleep at night to figure out what the Fed is going to do this week, next month. And so it's really tough to say, as you said. I mean, it's you know, it's hard to figure out exactly what the right move would be for them and all that. But I like being positioned where we are at this point, which is just saying, you know, we know it's eventually going to happen, and when it does, we'll be positioned in a great way, and or at least we're going to try to do our best to do that. And it can move markets. So it's, you know, it's tough to chase and figure out exactly what they're going to do at this point. So.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is hard to obviously, you know, outguess anybody. And, of course, we've seen a market, and I'm from the school, okay, I actually like to be short, but that's part of being a market maker, or, you know, being an ex-market maker, because we were always had to be on the other side of all the big banks, you know, because we were making the markets for them. So they would, you know, do their thing and come in. But when you look at it, and we look at the cycle we're in, I'm assuming you guys have been long the S&Ps or one of the indexes here?
Right. Yeah, we've been long equity indices over the last several years, in and out over several different periods. Also the NASDAQ, just because the NASDAQ has been stronger. And that's kind of how the system and our philosophy is of a subset of markets, you tend to want to be long the strongest, and vice versa. It goes the other way, too. You want to be short the weakest. So in energy, that's been, you know, natural gas, and it's been heating oil more so than gasoline. But yeah, equities have had a good run, and it'll be interesting to see how much more gas they have in the tank.
Well, I think on that point, too, what's been interesting to see, and especially in the managed futures space with some of the trend followers, is a bit of the divergences between more of the shorter-term trend followers, more of the shorter-term momentum traders, and, you know, a little bit longer-term, which is, you know, one of our philosophies is we want to stay in the direction of the long-term trend. And so we rarely go against the grain for the short-term noise. And I think, you know, you saw back in August with the S&P, you know, drops 12%. A lot of short-term people will get short that and get whipsawed right back as it reverts. And so I think it's really important as a part of our strategy, again, with the equity industry is a great example of, you know, it's in a bull market, and it's tough to short bull markets. So the short-term noise won't, you know, get us enticed to get into a position. Our strategy keeps us in that long-term trend. And if that changes over the longer period, then, you know, we can definitely reconsider how we'll react. But, yeah, a lot of people have gotten whipsawed this year by these short-term noise moves. So it's always something with the equity industry that's been very interesting this year, I think.
It's easy to get whipsawed in this business. As you know, you've been doing it for quite a while yourself now. So it's a very easy business to lose the discipline, which you guys don't, which is great. And it's very easy to lose the focus, which you guys don't. And I think that's very commendable, especially of, you know, again, you're the young guns, and I respect it. I think it's great. And we're visiting with David Ramsey and Don Wieczorek. They're being brought to you by the Capital Trading Group, our friends Nell Sloan over there at the CTG. And this is purplevalleycapital.com. Make sure you check out their site. We're going to stop out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with David and Don after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with my new friends that have been brought to you by the CTG Group, Capital Trading Group, Nell Sloan, and that is Don Wieczorek. I got his name right the whole time. I can't believe it. And David Ramsey from purplevalleycapital.com. Anyways, guys, so David, you know, I know that you're really a customer service kind of guy, and you're really important. The relationship and how you help people manage their own self is extremely important. You take us through the steps you take.
Yeah, for sure. And I, you know, like I said, I definitely think it's a huge part of the industry, the business, and our business specifically is, you know, what we're doing is managing other people's money. You know, we're trying to give them a great, you know, uncorrelated return stream that's diversified. And, you know, it's not just about returns in this industry. It's about figuring out, you know, who are the people that you're servicing. What are their needs? What are their goals? And for us, we try and find people that are really going to be with us for the long term. You know, of the 60 or so clients that we've had, we've only had two redemptions, and of the original 50, we've had zero redemptions. And the reason, you know, I think that that's been such an important thing for us is to say, you know, we really sort of educated them. We made sure that they understood our strategy, what it is and how it works, what to expect from it. And then worked with them to figure out what's the right allocation for you. For some people, it might be, you know, 1% of the portfolio. For someone else, it might be 40%. But it just really comes down to figuring out, you know, let's build some long-term partnerships. Let's have people in the strategy for, you know, a decade, two decades, three decades. Who really know, you know, how this thing ebbs and flows and how it works and what to expect. And I think if you really lay those expectations out on the line, you really lay those out up front, you know, the ability to stay solvent, the ability to have great clients that are with you for a long period of time and you can grow with, I think is hugely impactful. So, you know, that's the process. It's basically finding the right profile of person, finding the person that really, you know, we think fits best for us, then really making sure that they understand how our strategy works and what the expectations are, and going through all the good and the bad of how this thing works. And then when we onboard them, it's just the constant communication with them and the constant explanation around, you know, we have bad months. It's explaining exactly, you know, why that happens and how it works and how it fits into our broader term perspective as far as what our expectations are over the long term. And so it's very easy for people to get caught up in the short term, sort of myopic, oh man, you lost money this month or this day or this week. And you know, we tell our clients, we're not going to make money for you every day, every week, every month, every quarter, even every year. But what you really need to take into account is that, you know, over a decade, over two decades, over whatever the time frame is in the long term, that's where, you know, we expect to make positive returns. And so I think that's been a great part of how Don built his business. And hopefully, you know, my goal here is to really make sure that that gets taken to the next level of finding every client that we have and making sure that I know exactly what they're looking for and that they know exactly what to expect and that we're giving them the transparency around exactly what's happening and how to interpret that stuff. So it's been great. I think you know, I love talking to our clients, and they're all knowledgeable, and they really understand how this works. And that's such a great thing for a strategy and something I think gets overlooked, you know, all the time, which is how important having those partnerships are, and not just having, you know, performance chasers that are looking for the next, you know, 3 month, you know, fund that's going to gain them 10% or whatever it is.
So, listen, you're playing my music. Where do I send my resume? Maybe I'll come and work for you guys. All right. So, I want you to tell me something. Your active risk control process. Take me through that. Either one of you. I don't care which one does it.
Active risk control process. Got it. So from a trading perspective, we want to know exactly how much you're risking per trade, which is approximately 1% of our assets per trade. Like, that's what we're risking. We also need to monitor how many positions we currently have, which range anywhere from 5 to 20 positions in the futures market based on whether markets are trending or not. And then we also monitor the correlations among them. Because obviously you don't want to have too many currencies or all of the energies at the same time. It's basically over-levered or over-risked. That's about it. We also trade smaller when we're in losing streaks, which I think is also important. You know, sometimes people get caught up trying to trade bigger during losing streaks, trying to make it back, and we take the opposite approach. Say, hey, our strategy is not fitting this particular environment currently that well. Let's kind of turtle up and get smaller and wait for the sunnier days. But at the end of the day, the biggest and the most important is knowing where you're getting out on each individual trade. And that's why David and I, we can sleep well at night, is because we know worst-case scenario every day what could happen if every position moves to our exit point. And we're okay with that. That's not insurmountable. It's not going to blow us up. Totally okay. And that's key.
You guys must have read my book. You guys are talking like you're almost quoting me directly out of my book. I don't know. But anyways, so you'll see. I'll send you a copy. You'll see. But so as we come towards the end here, okay, I haven't asked you for direct market opinions. I know you don't give opinions because that's not your strategy, right? You trade. You're trading for. You're looking for the big run to hit. But I got to know, and everybody wants to know, what do you think of the overall markets here? And you can pick any market you want. What are you really thinking? Are they still going to sit here to continue to run higher? Is this bull trend going to continue? And again, I know that this is not for your strategy. This is just your own personal opinion, because I know you guys got to think about it. Nobody in this business never thinks about it, right? So just give me a general view of what you're thinking.
Dave, do you want to handle this one?
Yeah, sure. I think, like you said, it's definitely not our strategy, and I'm a big believer. There's a great quote I always like, which is, you got to earn the right to have an opinion. And for us, we do not sit at the fundamentals, and so we do not have any sort of the knowledge, I think, that would be required to make a good opinion. But that being said, I think that, it's obvious we've been in a 7-year, 8-year bull market, and so that's the reality. That's one of the longest, we've seen in a while, and I think that given that, I think everyone's looking for maybe a bit of a downturn or maybe a bit of a pullback here in the future. But again, who knows when it'll happen? But I think that we're pretty overextended at this point, and it's been 8 years. If you think of the normal business cycles, all that type of stuff, that pretty much all the things, macroeconomic, all the way down to individual companies here, I think are all a little bit overextended. So it's definitely possible we see that a bit of a pullback in the future, but again, who knows when that'll happen? And I think that the Fed will have a big part of that, and the global economy as well. So, but we're excited. I think that's the main thing. The main point we've had is that it's been a tough 7 years, I think, for a lot of hedge funds, for a lot of strategies, and for us, it's just saying I think that something's going to happen in the next couple of years, and things are going to change. It's been consistent here for 7-8 years, and there's things on the horizon I think are really getting us excited, and we're really waiting for those to happen. And like I said, who knows when it will, but we're definitely waiting for that, and it'll be a great time, I think, for managed futures strategy specifically.
You could have been a politician with that answer. All right, anyways, I know what we're both waiting for. I guarantee you, if I say this word, you'll say that's what we're waiting for, and that'll be the real key of what I'm looking for, and that is the missing volatility. Every time I have breakfast, I look on the back of the milk carton and it says, where's the volatility? We haven't had much volatility of recent years. Do you see it coming back?
Well, that's where they go in cycles, and I think that's why we did well in 2013, because prior a couple of years were difficult. There was not a lot of volatility, and then all of a sudden currencies exploded into massive moves. So they go in cycles. It has been difficult. All of us traders, we do need some sort of volatility to make money. We tend to like a really trending volatility. That's when we do best. But hopefully it'll come back. I think that's what everybody's waiting on and looking for the Fed to help stimulate. As soon as we get a little bit of a rate increase, that's going to send bonds moving one way or another. It'll send currencies moving one way or another. It'll send metals. Could send equities. So I think we just need a little bit of a spark somewhere. And I think that'll have some major kind of follow-on consequences throughout markets, because unfortunately, I think a lot of traders and investors have been lulled to sleep with the no volatility, and that's all going to come to roost at some point. And people are going to start making some big moves, and markets could move in big ways. And that's really what gets us excited. We really want to start seeing some markets, whether up or down. We'll be there to try and capture them. There will be volatility again. We just need to be patient until it comes.
And Todd, you've probably seen this in your history too, but Don and I always talk about it. Markets have a way of shaking out the weak, where, like Don said, people have sort of been lulled to sleep over the last couple of years, waiting for volatility, waiting, waiting. But that's the importance of patience and discipline and just sticking to the strategy and knowing that eventually it will happen. I think the people that wait it out, the people that stick to their guns and are disciplined, are the ones that get paid off in the end. So that's such an important part of just knowing that it'll be there and keeping with the system and letting the markets go where they're going to go.
And that's what we call the sense of complacency. Thanks, guys. It's been great to have you on. David Ramsey, Don Wieczorek, PurpleValleyCapital.com, brought to you by the CTG Group, Nell Sloan Capital Trading. It's been awesome to have you. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Todd.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you later. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.